You are listening to Phil Hewlett and Friends. I'm Phil Hewlett. I thank you for tuning in. This is the talk show where you get nothing but fun, informative, sometimes unexpected conversation about the stories you care about. You'll hear from the experts, authors, and others. And we hope to put a little smile on your face along the way. On today's show, what in the world is the problem with teenagers? We'll try to figure that out with an expert. Jay Leno speaks out on the Bill Cosby rape allegations. It's a pretty good time for you to find a rock to hide under. A very large rock from space is headed toward Earth. And Manny the Movie Guy joins us to talk about a new release named after him. Let's meet the friends fending off stalkers on Facebook. It's Erin Myers, who worked late on her TV job, so she'll be here shortly. She's on the way. I promise. And when it comes to beauty, Chris Martin is, well, he's here.
A tragic story, Phil. One of the most beautiful young women in professional tennis died on the court.
Wow.
That's a way to start a show, huh?
It is. I'm starting to... All right, I'm thinking, okay, there's her and there's her. I wonder who it is.
All right. It's definitely split between a handful of young women.
Yeah, that's for sure. All right, let's get things started. We usually start with Erin, but I'm going to start here because Jay Leno was making news. He was doing an interview at a convention, at a television show convention. And it looks like we now know where he stands on the Bill Cosby situation.
Is he for it or against it?
Well, he says, quote, "I don't know why it's so hard to believe." Can you do a Jay Leno? I don't know why.
I'm not good with impressions.
I don't know why. Why is it so hard for us to believe women? You go to Saudi Arabia, he says, you need two women to testify against a man. Here, you need 25.
Huh. It's an interesting point. Is that true, too? Saudi Arabia is pretty good with women's rights?
Well, no, that's not pretty good. I mean, the point is he's taken 25 women to come forward to accuse Bill. But in the Saudi Arabia, usually, you know, in every case, it's one person against the other. You don't hear 25 names versus so-and-so.
Yeah.
In a court case, it's usually Jones versus Smith. Well, Leno also likes the way this whole thing happened, thanks to a comedian who made a comment originally, kind of blew the lid on this. Hannibal Buress is his name. And it went viral, and he said, or Jay said about Hannibal, he made a flat-out statement that reverberated around the world. If that had been on television, Jay said, it would have been edited, but because somebody would put the news out raw and unfiltered, which he thinks is fantastic, it was a great thing. So it sounds like he's already convicted Mr. Cosby. Guilty as not tried, as of yet.
Yeah.
So there you go. Well, I don't know what you think. I think most people are saying, well, why don't we just... a lot of people are saying, why don't we just put him in jail? Well, you can't do that. You got to have a trial. And there's the whole statute of limitations thing in the United States that you got to deal with. And so until he's on trial, I mean, he's guilty. We're all innocent until proven otherwise.
Right. And everybody gets that right.
Yeah, you want that. You don't want to say, okay, well, once you set the precedent, it's the Bill Cosby rule. That means, okay, we could throw you in jail without taking you to court, and we could convict you and give you a sentence, all right? Because you're the one who was running around blathering about how Bill Cosby should go to jail before he has a trial. All right, fine. Okay,
you ran
a red light and knocked over a stroller and a baby got killed. Okay, at least that's what people said happened.
You're driving the same car.
Pretty sure it was you. Okay, fine. 25 years in prison. You know?
Yeah.
Next to the guy with the tattoo across his face.
Right, yeah, of a teardrop.
Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah, you got to be careful with it. And it is interesting how modern media is changing, because the only reason this did get out, and Jay Leno's right, is because a guy was filming it in the audience on his camera phone. Yeah. You can release that on YouTube. Anybody can do that.
Sure.
Network television definitely would have
come. Right. Thank you, journalism, for being replaced by the new journalism, which is just about everybody.
Yeah, guerrilla journalism.
On the planet. Now when your kid grows up and say, well, what do you want to study in college? Journalism. What the heck are you doing? You have a smartphone? Okay, fine, you're a journalist.
Right, no studying involved.
Isn't that how it is now? I think it is. I think pretty much.
That's it. Film everything you see, put your own opinion on it, stick it on YouTube, see how many hits you get, and if it catches any attention.
That's right. I mean, we talk all the time about all the money people are making on YouTube, just opening up presents on
Yeah, right.
and millions of people watching.
Yeah.
It's insane. All right, Chris, you have a lot of stories lined up for us. And first of all, I mean, this is the tragic news. And I had not heard this. And I am almost, I mean, I got to brace myself to find out who this Russian tennis player is who died.
Yeah, well, it just came out. This happened last week, but it's just now hitting the news outlets. I'm sure that it was sort of kept under wraps for a little while. But a young tennis star named Violeta Degtyareva, she's a Russian tennis player, 23 years old, Phil.
Yeah.
She's out there practicing on the tennis court and had heart failure and died right there on the tennis court.
Oh, my goodness. And people were comparing her to some of her predecessors, perhaps not for their tennis play.
Right, yeah. They're comparing her to, like, Anna Kournikova, Maria Sharapova, these girls that, you know, they were excellent tennis players for sure, never really cracked the top 500, but really known also for their beauty. These girls could sell calendars. And this girl, by the way, she was one of the highest paid tennis stars in international tennis because of what she brought in based on her modeling and all the beauty contracts she had.
She does do modeling.
She does do modeling.
Or she did, yeah.
One of the highest earning stars in tennis, even though she was ranked outside the top
1,000. Oh, she is a pretty lady. Look at that. There's a picture of her on our show fun page.
Just gorgeous.
Yeah, just one shot, and that's all you need to know right there. That's just pure beauty, and it's sad. Rest in peace.
Yeah.
Violeta? Degtyareva?
Yeah, I'm thinking it's Degtyareva? Degtyareva? Maybe the G is silent?
Yeah, or maybe the T is.
Yeah.
The GT together. I'm not a Russian linguist, but... I get to pronounce a lot of Russian names in hockey, but I usually have the play-by-play announcers from the other team say it to me first, and then I memorize it that
you
way.
You do your homework.
Yeah, a little bit. You got to do it.
Yeah.
But that's sad news.
It is. A lot of times you hear about this, and they already had some sort of heart problem. The autopsy will probably show that.
And it happens. We all remember, I think, was it Hank Gathers, who played for Loyola Marymount? Mm-hmm. A college basketball player that very promising. The Lakers were looking at him. A lot of pro teams in the NBA were looking at him. As a kid,
he was
going to come up early because he was a great player.
Yeah.
And I think it was during the tournament or just prior to the tournament, Loyola was looking good, and he dropped dead on the court.
Yeah, like 19 years old. Guy was a beast, big guy.
Mm-hmm.
Great heart and all of that, except for great heart as a person.
Yeah,
but, you know, obviously physically it wasn't. Yeah, right there on the court.
So it's not unusual, but it does bring up the question or the discussion, at least. I mean, at what point do you know there's this risk? And I'm sure in every case, not in every case, perhaps most cases, these elite athletes know that they've got a heart issue that they've got to keep track of. Perhaps they're taking medicine to keep it in check, but there's that risk, and then it continues to happen. I mean, it seems like there've been a half dozen or more of these in the last, I don't know, 20 years, and that's a half dozen that shouldn't happen.
I think.
But what should they do? Should they sideline themselves? I mean, this is their destiny to be a big sports superstar. Do they not play sports?
No, I don't think you could keep a person separated from their dreams. And sometimes I wonder if because they're so young, you just don't get screened for it. I mean, who at 19 goes in for an EKG if they don't show any sort of symptoms of
True.
It?
True. Yeah. Yeah. They're just out there running. Okay.
Yeah.
Take a knee and you're out in the next shift.
Right.
Right. Okay. There's another story here. I don't know if you're familiar with this, but there's a newspaper in England called The Sun, and they've got what they call page three girls. They've been doing this forever. It's a legitimate, more or less, newspaper. And the first thing people do is they take the rubber band off it, they go to page three, and there's a lovely lady, often topless, in the newspaper. And there's some news regarding that.
Bearing all these girls do on page three. And I had it written down as a British tabloid, but you're saying it's got legit news in it
also.
Well,
in Britain, a tabloid is just, they're all tabloids. That's what they call their newspapers.
Yeah. Well, this page three that we're talking about, where they do show topless women, they actually dropped that page out of the Sun paper last week.
Really?
Yeah, and they're saying it was in response to this activist group called No More Page Three, which gathered like 215,000 names on a petition. So they dropped the page out of there. Matter of fact, the last 3 days they've had girls in bras, which of course, you know, led to a bunch of their readers to say, what's going on here? So they had to release a statement. Well, here's the third day of girls in bras. No more girls in bras. We're back to topless women.
Oh, they are?
Yes.
And that's their quote, word for word?
Here's their quote. I'll tell you. First of all, they put it in the clarification and correction section, which is already sort of, you know, putting a snub to the detractors.
Uh-huh.
And underneath is a quote that says, contrary to recent reports, we would like to clarify. This is page three, and this is a picture of Nicole, 22 years old, from Bournemouth. And
it's probably, I believe it's pronounced Bournemouth.
Oh, Bournemouth. Yeah. Right. Well, it's got an E in there. Of course, it has to be Bournemouth.
Yeah, and not mouth.
Right. It's Bournemouth.
It's English.
Right? Yeah, I need proper, to brush up on my
proper English.
Proper English.
Okay.
They also apologized to the media and all the journalists for them having to jump on the story about them dropping it. Mm-hmm. And the detractors say it looks like the war's back on. Yeah. They're not going to give up.
Right. Hey, you know what? Sooner or later, there's going to be a payday. Where you've got to pay, you know, after all the grief and the ridiculousness that goes on, you're going to have to lay it out and you're going to have to take your licks. And finally, that day of reckoning has come for Justin Bieber. And you're going to hear about it next here on Phil Hewlett and Friends.
In sports, speed is everything. When it comes to headache relief, speed is the only thing. Introducing Goody's Headache Relief Shot, the all-new liquid fast formula. Just screw off the top, down the shot, and knock back pain for fast, long-lasting relief. Leave headache pain behind with Goody's Headache Relief Shot, available now at Walgreens.
I want to tell you about a spectacular dining experience. It's Ports of Call Waterfront Dining, award-winning service and cuisine with a view of the dynamic L.A. Harbor from every seat. Enjoy daily sunset specials, as well as the South Bay's best bottomless champagne brunch. The outdoor harborside patio is a perfect setting for happy hour every weekday from 3 to 8. Ports of Call Waterfront Dining. For reservations and directions, visit portsofcalldining.com or call 310-833-3553. Here we go. It's Phil Hewlett and Friends. I'm Phil. Chris is here. Erin is on the way. She's driving safely, I promise. We were having this conversation before we came on the air. I wondered, because Erin's worked late this morning at her TV job. She's on KTLA, Channel 5 in Los Angeles. She's a reporter. And she posts pictures of herself on Facebook when she's reporting, and then you should just read the comments. Oh, look, here she comes down. We were wondering what kind of a driver Erin is when she's going from place to place and she's in a hurry and she knows she's late. And here she comes walking into the room right now and looking no worse for wear. In fact, looking lovely. And I don't want to sound like one of the stalkers on your Facebook wall, but just the same, you do look lovely today. You've got your TV face on. And
thank you. There's makeup on. Yes.
You clean up nice.
When I have to.
Not like there was a whole lot to do in the first place. But we were wondering what kind of a driver. Do you put pedal to the metal when you're running late?
Shh. Yes. just a little bit. Yeah, just a little bit. But there is traffic like no other right now.
Right. Well, isn't there some kind of an event going on out in the Hollywood or the North Hollywood area?
I don't know, but I'm going to tell you there is something going on in every part of this town right now, because I think I hit 3 traffic jams in 3 different freeways. So,
yeah, I feel like there's an event in Southern California every day because of the traffic that we have to face.
Yeah, well, you know what? We'll give you a second to collect yourself. Chris and I will talk amongst ourselves because we were talking about a day of reckoning for young Justin Bieber, and perhaps he'll have more of these in the future, unless he is unfazed by what's about to happen. And what is about to happen, Chris?
Yeah, this is one of those things I think you only do once in a lifetime, but see if you can catch the subtlety in this, Phil. Comedy Central has agreed to a Justin Bieber roast on March 7th.
A roast?
Yes, and you'll notice that I said Comedy Central agreed, and the reason why is this. Justin Bieber has been asking Comedy Central to roast him for the last 2 years.
Really?
Plus
roast
now.
Me? Roast me?
Yes, roast me, roast me. And Comedy Central told him, hey, listen, you need to create more material if you want to get roasted.
He hasn't given them enough material yet? Like,
well,
really?
They've
really?
Come out now and said, we're thrilled that he responded.
I think I would probably listen to a Justin Bieber song called Roast Me, Roast Me.
I bet he'll cry.
He'd top the charts in it.
Oh, he's a young guy. He thinks he can take it. But I could see
those
Bieber
guys,
in tears
yeah.
after this.
Erin, those guys are brutal.
They are.
That's a good point. And
mm-hmm.
he's the kind of kid who starts swinging.
Yes.
He doesn't know what else to say. He's just going to start swinging.
He'll be like, oh, it's so funny, ha ha. And then they'll say one little thing that's going to make him go the wrong way, and he'll either throw punches or have big tears rolling down his face.
Can you imagine you're a comedian and you have a chance to put together a routine of jokes to roast Justin Bieber. Have you been licking your chops for this moment?
Oh, please. Mm-hmm. They've all been doing it in their stand-up regularly, and now they get to do it directly to the kid while he sits in
so
a chair.
So they're going to air this live on Comedy Central?
It won't. It's never live. I mean, it's always pre-recorded because they have to cut out, you know, some of the more profane stuff, yeah. And they have to fit it within a one-hour window.
Oh,
they
get more profane than some of the stuff that they actually air?
Phil, you have no idea. These guys are filterless. I mean, we're talking about names like Jeff Ross, who is the king of roast, Whitney Cummings, Amy Schumer. They're going to pull all the big guns out. And these guys don't hold back. And think about all the fodder that he's created. He's got that whole, remember the Anne Frank house issue where he signs the Anne Frank book that she would have been a believer?
Right.
Kid was egging houses, peed in a mop bucket. He's modeling in his underwear.
Yeah.
The material is endless.
Yeah.
Endless.
And he's an idiot.
And he's only how old? 21 or 20? And I mean, they can already roast him. Just think in 10 years what they could do to the guy.
Oh, my God.
I'm assuming he has to be prepared for it if he's asking for it.
He'll probably be on something. Is that horrible to say?
No,
is it?
Not.
Horribly honest.
It's going to be roasted. I'm sure somebody will go to the drugs on a joke. Hey, there doesn't seem to be much chance of this happening, but Las Vegas, believe it or not, is now placing odds on the possibility that New England Patriots head coach Bill Belichick will be suspended for the Super Bowl over this whole Deflategate thing. Can you believe that?
Wow.
They're long odds, 15-2, which reflects just how likely it is. But the odds that Bill will be suspended for at least one game at some point are a lot closer to even. They're 3-2. So 15-2, he'll miss the Super Bowl. 3-2, he'll be suspended at some other point. Most people expect the NFL to do something, given the Patriots are repeat cheaters.
Don't they have to do at least some little thing?
Yeah.
Absolutely.
And by the way, now there are new reports that Baltimore Ravens think their kicking balls were underinflated during the playoff game against the Patriots. But the Pats wouldn't have had their hands on those balls because those belong to the Ravens, so they couldn't have messed with them. And Ravens coach Jim Harbaugh doesn't think they were tampered with. He says
John Harbaugh.
John? It's not. Yeah. Oh, it's not Jim? It's Harbaugh. Coach Harbaugh.
Yes.
We know that
there
for sure. Anyway, here's this quote. I chalk it up to being cold.
Yeah.
Well, that how he sounds?
But you know what? That really is true. You know, anything that holds air, when you put it in cold weather, the molecules inside slow down because of the colder temperature.
Listen,
and then the ball deflates a little bit.
Sorry, I was going to say something really inappropriate.
Listen to Captain Science.
Chris Nye, the science guy.
What are you doing putting on a filter today, Aaron?
I don't know, but I was going to say something really, well, it was really inappropriate even for me, so I was like, okay, maybe I won't go there.
Something about cold balls?
Kind of.
Being deflated?
Sort of, yeah.
Like, I know where you're going.
Yeah, exactly. See, I didn't get enough sleep.
Oh, well.
That's what happens when I don't sleep.
Let's tap into this vein a little bit. You know what? Okay, play Chicken Little for us here. Should we be hiding under a rock? Is something from outer space about to destroy Earth as we know it?
Maybe. That took me a second right there. There could be. They're
was that not obvious enough?
It was, but as I said, a little slow right now, going through traffic, quick. Yes, there is an asteroid that is going to pass close to Earth next week. And so if you are an astronomer, grab your binoculars because they're saying it'll be about 745,000 miles.
How many
off,
miles?
About 700. Within 745,000 miles. So in space terms, that's very close.
Right, because it could take a left turn at the speed it's traveling and all of a sudden
kaboom. Yeah, we're in trouble. So, you know, does anybody have a bunker that we can all hide out in or anything?
An asteroid bunker?
Yes, an asteroid bunker.
I think they sell those at Walmart.
Or a spaceship to take us to Mars.
Oh, man. How about that? So, and how large is this asteroid?
Let's see. You can see I've read. I don't read while I drive. I might drive fast, but I do not read while I drive.
Right.
It does not say.
I think it's a third of a mile.
Is that what it is?
A third of a mile.
You're right. It is a third of a mile in size. Thank you for that.
We got Captain Science.
See, you are good today with that. Wow, impressive.
All right, very good. Hey, when's your birthday?
August 15th.
August 15th. And Chris, yours?
March 29th.
August 15th, and March. March 29th.
Yep.
So yours is coming up real soon. So you might want to make plans. And there's no better way to spend your birthday than with a little special time, love, and tenderness, and a personalized greeting from Michael Bolton.
Oh,
I would love that for my birthday.
Wouldn't that be icing on the cake?
Excellent.
Now, Michael has teamed up with American Greetings to create a silly video e-card featuring a customizable song. And the video shows Michael crudely making a birthday cake from scratch, down to getting eggs from the chicken coop and milking a cow. And the song allows you to choose from a thousand different pre-recorded names, including generalized things like honey or buddy, and 17 message options like, quote, you are a sexy stud today.
I like that,
that
one.
That would be weird. Wouldn't it be weird, though, having Michael Bolton say that to you?
No.
And you can
awesome.
Plug okay. in a custom date and the whole thing. And wow. so you've got your Michael Bolton birthday message right there for your on your card. How about that? Would you like that, Chris?
Sure. Yeah.
No idea.
I only know When a Man Loves a Woman. That'd be the only song I know how to request.
And I have no idea what this would cost.
You know, it'd be interesting, though, if it eventually gets to where he actually does, like, what are those called? Those, like, singing grams, and he shows up at your door and, like, starts serenading you.
Yeah,
that
right.
would be really cool.
That would be cool. Hey, you like sushi?
No.
I love sushi.
You don't eat the sushi, Aaron? I like it.
Yeah.
I like. You like it, Chris?
Love
yeah.
it.
Yeah. You put the wasabi on your sushi?
Big time, yeah. I dunk it in it.
Yeah. My my cousin, he's from another country and never had wasabi before. I took him to a sushi place some time ago, and he thought it was guacamole.
Oh, you didn't tell him, did you?
He put a whole bunch in his mouth, got up, and it was like a cartoon. He was running around the entire restaurant
awesome.
Looking for water, and at some point, he just grabbed somebody's glass off their table.
Bet his sinuses were never so clear.
Mm-hmm. Hey, it was originally eaten with sushi to kill bacteria, not for its flavor.
That makes sense.
Yeah, didn't know that. So there you go. Hey, you know what else? Coming up, you will not recognize Johnny Depp in his new movie role. And will the kids enjoy a little strange music, or will J-Lo get it in the end? And that wasn't a joke. Manny the Movie Guy joins us next here on Phil Hewlett and Friends. Thanks for tuning in. It's Phil Hewlett and Friends. I'm Phil. Erin has made it. She's in the studio now.
Woo-hoo!
And Chris is here as well. It's time to see what the movie companies have in store for you at your local Cineplex this weekend. Joining us live is the star of KMIR-TV in Palm Springs, Manny the Movie Guy.
The star, that's right.
Yeah.
How are you guys?
I'm great. How about you? Hey, you know what? We're safe.
Wonderfully blessed. Thank you.
Oh, good to hear. We are safely past the awards nominations that matter. Let's talk about the new releases, shall we? And I know you have some movies to talk about, but I want to just run through some of those that I jotted down. And Manny,
sure.
Anytime Jennifer Lopez puts out a movie, I'm skeptical. Boy Next Door, however, looks like it has a chance to be good. What are you hearing about it?
Yeah, well, I mean, really, seriously, tell me this. When was the last time you've seen a good J-Lo movie?
Selena.
Selena, yeah, pretty much.
See, I didn't even really like that much.
Really. Mine would be Out of Sight. That was way back with George Clooney and from Steven Soderbergh. I mean, she really hasn't done a fantastic movie in recent time. And The Boy Next Door
yeah.
is pretty much the same. Jennifer Lopez and her booty
yeah.
star in the film. And she plays a divorcee who falls in love with a younger man.
Dun,
dun, dun.
A high school boy.
I have a question about this high school boy, Manny. Where did he come from, this actor Ryan Guzman? I kind of recognize him, but I don't know where from.
I don't know where he's from either. I mean, he's mesmerizing, and he has a great chemistry with Jennifer Lopez. But that's about it. The buzz is, this one obviously belongs to all those crazy next door movies, like The Hand That Rocks the Cradle, or Fatal Attraction, one of the best, I mean, the best example of that genre, or Single White Female. But the big lesson is don't fall for younger men, and, you know, that's,
yeah.
just lower your expectations. If you like those films that I mentioned,
mm-hmm.
lower your expectations, because after all, this is January, a month
yeah.
for garbage film.
Right. Well, Kristen Chenoweth is in this, and she's also one of the voices in Strange Magic. Is that just for kids? It's a digital cartoon, right?
Yes, this is from a story by no other than George Lucas, by
oh.
the way. And this is, you know, we have goblins, elves, fairies, and imps. We don't have R2-D2 and, you know, C-3PO and all that, but they've been replaced by all these mythical creatures. And it talks about their misadventures, part by the battle over a powerful potion.
Ooh.
The buzz in this is a fairy tale musical that's basically tone deaf. So I would suggest that young kids, very young, would probably enjoy this, but a little bit of older kids, and grown-ups will certainly, you know, probably just stay away or just take their kids there and sleep or something.
Yeah, okay. And you know, the movie that I want to see, and maybe it's totally going to be awful, but a lot of big names in it, Gwyneth Paltrow, Ewan McGregor, Olivia Munn, Oliver Platt, Jeff Goldblum, and Johnny Depp is the lead character in this Mordecai movie. I don't know if you've seen it yet, but...
No, this one was not shown in advance to many critics, so that's not a great sign. Mm-hmm. You know, and truth be told, here's the deal. I mean, Johnny Depp hasn't, not just like J-Lo, well, better than J-Lo, but yet his star hasn't shined brightly lately.
Yeah,
you know, he hasn't done any big movies except, of course, for his Pirates of the Caribbean films.
Yeah, yeah. Loved him in that. Loved him in Edward Scissorhands. And,
right, of course.
Yeah, right.
He's iconic, but he hasn't been doing anything substantial lately. And this Mordecai, you know, it wasn't shown to critics. It's also dumped in the garbage month of January. There you go.
All right, so you got to dig real hard to find something good. And I know there's isn't there a documentary out about one boxer who hails from the Philippines?
Yes, my namesake and fellow countryman, Manny Pacquiao, there's a documentary about him that's out in limited run tomorrow, Friday, but also it's out on demand. So try to watch it if you love watching some movies about, you know, a boxing documentary. This is from the Academy Award winner, Leon Gast, who gave us When We Were Kings. Now, that is a much, much, much better film. This one, Manny, is pretty much a hero worship of a movie that plays like a publicity tool for the boxer.
Oh,
you know, yes, it doesn't talk about any. I mean, you know, he is a very complicated person. You know, he's a devout Christian, but there's also talks about his gambling addiction, and he loves women. He's in his womanizing ways, and
mm-hmm.
he's married.
Yeah.
Yet all of those were glossed over for the sake of hero worship, and that's my biggest problem with this film.
Yeah, and how about his political career? And how he indicted for all kinds of shenanigans, and I don't know how that came out.
Yeah, and his take on you know, gay marriage or abortion. I mean, those are all controversial takes. But again, this play that really, really saved. It seems like this movie was produced and directed by his publicist.
Yeah. all right, now
him an icon.
But yes, I know he is, and so we'll wait for. Mayweather to come out with his documentary.
Right.
But quickly, though, real quick, another one on demand that you actually may enjoy is Anne Hathaway in Song One. The actress, the Oscar-winning actress, not only stars in the film, but she also produces this. And it's just a little sweet movie about a young woman whose brother falls into a coma and, you know, grieving and because of grief, she looks for his favorite musician and tries to get him to help the brother.
Did you like it? You like the movie?
I enjoyed the film. You know what it is? I enjoyed the whole indie rock scene. I love that, and I love the songs playing. And and Anne Hathaway is just so darn lovable and likable. I really do love it.
Remind me what she won an Oscar for.
For Les Mis, Les Miserables.
Yeah, you know what? I don't know why you reminded me of that, because it makes me mad. She's in the movie for just an average movie, in my point of view. But she's in the movie for 10 minutes. She gets a little snot on her lip and sings while she's doing it, and she gets an Academy Award. If I were one of the other actresses up for that year, I would have really been upset.
Remember, in the supporting categories, it's really just the way you're remembered. And she gave us a very memorable performance, much like Jennifer Hudson before her in Dreamgirls. I mean, Jennifer Hudson is pretty much also in the film for 10 minutes, but then she has this one show-stopping number, and that's what the Academy voted for. Just like Anne Hathaway, who has that show-stopping number, and that's what she won.
Sounds like the Academy has ADD.
Maybe. Or maybe an early onset of Alzheimer's.
Yeah, right. No. There you go. Look, squirrel. Oh, okay.
But you know what, real quick, though? I interviewed the star yesterday, Anne Hathaway, yesterday, and it's a funny, funny, funny quick story. I interviewed her for the film, for Song One, but I've been wanting to interview her forever since I talked to her back in Les Mis, because I predicted her. I interviewed her in November, and I told her in February, you're going to win an Oscar for Best Supporting Actress, and she didn't believe me. She goes, oh, no, it's too early. And I just wanted to tell her, I told you so, and there you go. And she goes, you made a liar out of me.
Wow. Wow. How about that?
And she called me cute. How's that?
Ooh.
Yeah. Well, you are, Manny. I agree. You're cute.
We're BFF now. We're best friends forever.
Is that video up on your website? MannyTheMovieGuy.com.
No, I haven't posted it yet. But give me, like, I don't know, 2-3 hours, I'll post it.
Oh, good. All right.
You can Google Manny the Movie Guy and Anne Hathaway, Les Miserables. I love her in that interview.
Oh, beautiful. All right. And we have a link to your site as well on our links page and on the regular contributors page in the About section at PhilHewlettAndFriends.com. Just click on Manny's beautiful face, and you'll go directly to his website.
There you go. Thank you so much.
Enjoy your weekend at the movies.
I will, you guys, too, and I'll eat lots of popcorn.
Okay, thanks. We'll talk to you next week.
Bye.
There he goes. All right, it's Manny the Movie Guy, and we survived our teen years, right? We were all teenagers once.
Yes.
But no matter how many times we experience our kids' teen years, we're amazed we survived that, right? And now, if you'd like to relive that nightmare or get some help if you are currently pulling out your hair with your teen or your tween, you need to hear our next guest here on Phil Hewlett and Friends.
In sports, speed is everything. When it comes to headache relief, speed is the only thing. Introducing Goody's Headache Relief Shot, the all-new liquid fast formula. Just screw off the top, down the shot, and knock back pain for fast, long-lasting relief. Leave headache pain behind with Goody's Headache Relief Shot, available now at Walgreens.
Here's a great idea for your next outing, a cruise of the L.A. Harbor on a Spirit Cruises yacht. Whether you have a large party, a company outing, wedding reception, a reunion, or you need the perfect setting for a romantic evening, Spirit Cruises offers everything you need to relax and enjoy your time on the water. For a limited time, enjoy Sunday brunch at Portsacall Waterfront Dining right next door, and the first Spirit Cruises Harbor Cruise of the day is free. For more information, call 310-548-8080 or visit spiritmarine.com. Hope you'll visit our website often, PhilHewlettAndFriends.com. There's a show fun page. There's a how to listen page. All the different things you could look at, including the about page, which tells you a little bit about the friends. There's Aaron Myers and Chris Martin. There's me, Phil Hewlett, and thank you for tuning in. Nick Ambrosino is a learning specialist, a music educator, and the author of the book Coffee with Ray, A Simple Story with a Life-Changing Message for Teachers and Parents. It's available in the store at PhilHewlettAndFriends.com. We're talking about teenagers and the troubles parents have dealing with just the absolute lack of... he's on the show with us right now. Nick, thank you very much. Can you explain what happens to the teenage brain? Because during those years, things like reason, empathy, respect, responsibility, accountability, and just the ability to cooperate all go out the window.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah, I
agree with you. I think one of the things that teens are looking to become is on their own. They're trying to become, establish themselves as individuals. So there's this sense of breaking away. And also, they want to be nearby, but they don't want you to know they need them. So the motivation for them has to start to become from the inside for their accountability, as opposed to being external from the parents. It has to shift at that point.
Yeah, but good luck getting inside when you're a parent. How in the heck do you do that?
Yeah, a lot of patience it takes, and a lot of invitations. I think an important distinction that you need to make is between demanding them and inviting them to work with you. So as opposed to telling you have to do this or this is what you should be doing. Important, different in phrasings would be, hey, when you're ready, here's what you might want to try.
You want to help me swish this toilet here? Something like that? Instead of, clean your bathroom, for goodness sakes.
Yeah, specifically, it could be, hey, when you're ready, that bathroom can look a lot better than it is right now, and I have some information for you if you want to receive that. And a lot of times, it's a matter of grinning and bear it at this point, choosing your battles, Phil.
Yeah, and so you get in there and you say, okay, well, you missed a spot. And it's so often the teens just get frustrated and they say, whatever, and they give up on the task or the conversation and they go into the room, close the door, and then that's it. How do you turn that around?
The closing of the door, you can take the doors off the hinges.
Whoa!
Ooh,
well,
yes.
No, you know what that I mean, the whatever thing, that whole attitude of, like nothing really matters when it matters to me.
I think a lot of it is about creating an environment in where both their opinions and your opinions have an open conversation. So the whole idea where you get to do it because I'm the authority, It becomes much more difficult as they start to put their foot down as well. So the challenge is really inviting them to be part of the process and planning the process and explaining, hey, this is working for me. What's working for you, and how can we make this work for both of us?
Yeah, it makes sense as you say it. I guess it takes some courage to try it. You know, you can always tell when somebody on Twitter is lying about their age when they repeatedly post the words, "I'm bored."
Oops.
Teenager. Does everything have to be fun when you're a teenager? Is that the perspective they have?
Yeah, I think it is a perspective. Unfortunately, I think it's really an inaccurate perspective, and they need to understand that sometimes life isn't fun. Specifically, sometimes learning isn't fun. You know, we've made it for the kids often that, hey, everything's supposed to be fun. We see it advertised. We make learning fun, and that's simply not the fact. The fact of the matter is that sometimes learning is a struggle. As a matter of fact, if it's always fun, you're probably not learning. You're probably just stating what you already know. Often what we need to let them understand is that the struggle means you're actually learning.
Yeah, yeah. All right. So let's say you try all of these things. And again, it all makes perfect sense. We're not the best at regurgitating the words of a pro like you. So we give it our best shot. But just let's say your teen completely shuts down. So much so that you start to worry a little bit, because you always hear in this day and age about things going very, very wrong. And you think, OK, what is my teen capable of? But not my baby, of course. But then, you know, you go back and forth from denial to concern. What do you do? Do you wait it out? Or is there some constructive way to penetrate the thickness of that teenage skull?
I think it's a combination of the both. You have to watch for the warning signs. And I think also that there is a waiting process. You know, I wait on the sidelines as I watch my team play his own game, or her own game when it was my daughter's. And you wait to see if anyone's getting hurt. There are certain injuries they can sustain, and there is some emotional that you need to step in on. And that's a real personal choice for a parent and that teen.
Yeah. Do you recommend taking a trip?
I love taking trips. If I had to give one piece of advice, I would say that you need to spend a half an hour in the car, in the dark, with your teen driving once a week.
Yeah.
You'll learn more about your teen in that, because the confidence goes up, because we don't have to have eye contact. And there doesn't seem like you're paying too much of attention because you are driving. And I've learned much more about my teen in that half an hour than if you sat them down and tried to force them to speak with you.
Who's behind the wheel again?
I am.
Oh, okay, good. Because things could go very wrong the other way around, right? Because your inclination as a parent is to criticize the driving, I think.
Absolutely, yeah.
Yeah, and the teen doesn't want to hear any more criticizing. That's it. No more driving with me. All right. Well, again, the book is called Coffee with Ray, A Simple Story with a Life-Changing Message for Teachers and Parents. Give us a little sense of that book, because we have it for sale in the store at philhewlettandfriends.com, and we want to encourage people to get it. But just thumbnail it for us.
Yeah, the book is written as a parable, and it has some very specific information on how to make distinctions that you and your team can come to common ground on, and some very specific techniques for doing that.
Yeah. All right. Very good. Thanks for joining us on the program, Nick Ambrosino. I think we learned a couple of things. He's a learning specialist, music educator, and again, the book is in the store. And thanks again, sir. We'll talk to you again soon.
Thanks, Phil.
All right. Good luck with your teenagers, huh? It's tough stuff. I don't know how we survive being teens.
Oof.
Was it rough, Aaron?
Yeah, probably. More rough for my parents than for me, huh?
Oh, well. And they survived, too.
They did.
So, but some people deal with strife better than others. Especially in love, it sometimes can turn into war, Aaron. And you have an interesting story that's in the news today.
Yeah, well, it's a little bit from earlier this week. In New York, a woman says that she went to work. Her and her husband have been renovating their home. And while she was gone, apparently he rented a bulldozer and tore it down without a permit. And he was actually charged with criminal mischief. And she came home and she said, you know, I asked him as a joke if he was going to knock the house down with a bulldozer. And he said, yeah.
No.
But she said she thought he was kidding. But now they're homeless. So,
yeah, well.
Communication, it is key, whether it's a teenager or your spouse.
I guess so. And without a permit, how dare he?
Yeah.
That's awful.
Skirting the city laws like that. Mm-hmm. What is he thinking?
Yeah.
I don't know. But to bulldoze your whole house, that's pretty bad.
Yeah, sounds like
with all their things in it, he just knocked it down with everything inside.
Sounds like a divorce type of story where it's like, okay, this is going to go to divorce, and I'm going to make sure she gets nothing I'll tell you how I'm going to do that. I'm going to bulldoze the house and everything in it.
Well, yeah. It is divorce month.
Here's a story for you, Erin, because you're the as you proudly say, crazy animal woman, right?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
There are more tigers in Americans' backyards than there are in the wild.
Really?
Yeah. This is according to the World Wildlife Federation.
Wow.
So it's pretty accurate information. There are only 3,200 tigers in the wild. That's endangered status,
yes.
Right? And more than 4,000 are being kept as exotic pets.
Wow. See, I'm okay with the ones that are in sanctuaries that need to be there, but as a pet,
no, you wouldn't do that?
No.
Oh, what if a cute little Siberian tiger cub came up to your front door? You'd take it in, right?
I would maybe take it in for a little bit, and then I'd realize that someday it could maul me and eat me.
Yeah.
So I at least am not that crazy.
How many of your current cats have to be eaten before you turn it into the authorities?
Oh, yeah. See, that would not be good. They'd be like, ooh, fresh meat.
All right. Yeah, could be costly having a pet like that, I would imagine, all the food that you have to feed them. And you know what else costs these days? Have you seen I don't smoke, but I've seen the cost of a pack of cigarettes. It's like $10 for a pack of cigarettes now, isn't it, Chris?
It can be, yeah. It depends on what state you're in and how much taxes are enforced on it.
How much money do smokers spend on cigarettes?
There's a new study out, Phil, that says that smokers spend over $1.1 million in a lifetime so they can enjoy that cancer stick.
Wow.
This report is released as a part of Tobacco-Free Awareness Week, which that's what this week is. It's Tobacco-Free Awareness Week.
Jeez. Well, I wasn't aware of that.
Uh-uh.
Now, the report takes into consideration not only the cost of the tobacco itself, which is expensive, but it also takes into consideration health care costs, raising insurance costs, because you ever get one of those insurance forms that, you know, if you're trying to get life insurance or even health insurance?
Do you smoke?
Right.
Yes.
And then the minute you click that box, the cost goes up 18%.
Yeah. Wow.
So it takes all that into consideration. And here's a recent statistic that says there are 42 million smokers still in the United States, which is 18%. That's according to the Center for Disease.
Well, that's way down from where it used to be.
I would imagine.
Weren't we at about 40% at one time?
That makes sense to me. It seemed like everybody that, you know, we had war and all that, everybody was rolling their own. Everybody had a cigarette in their mouth. The president was smoking in Kennedy's era.
Yes, right. Well, President Obama still smokes, or has he kicked the habit?
I think he might a little bit here and there.
It's like a social smoker.
Yeah.
I just don't think he's been caught on camera yet.
Yeah. Hey, quick thing here. There's a gaggle of geese. There's a flock of seagulls, a herd of buffalo, right? Do you know what a group of ferrets is? A ferret's like a weasel, right?
Yeah, stinky.
A stinky?
They probably smell, is what I'm saying.
Well,
a group of ferrets.
What's a group of ferrets? You have any idea?
A fairy. A fairy of ferrets.
A fairy of ferrets.
That'd be cool.
A bucket of ferrets? No. A business of ferrets.
Don't get in my business.
Look, there go a business of ferrets right there. Hey, that's it for hour one, thankfully, of the program today. But there's so much more to come, including... Who do women really want to settle down with, the geeks or the jocks? We have scientific data on that. And wait a minute, is Microsoft cool again? Our tech guy joins us live. Those stories and more coming up in the second hour of Phil Hewlett and Friends. Next!
In sports... Speed is everything. When it comes to headache relief, speed is the only thing. Introducing Goody's Headache Relief Shot, the all-new liquid fast formula. Just screw off the top, down the shot, and knock back pain for fast, long-lasting relief. Leave headache pain behind with Goody's Headache Relief Shot, available now at Walgreens.
I want to tell you about a spectacular dining experience. It's Ports of Call Waterfront Dining, award-winning service and cuisine with a view of the dynamic L.A. Harbor from every seat. Enjoy daily sunset specials, as well as the South Bay's best bottomless champagne brunch. The outdoor harborside patio is a perfect setting for happy hour every weekday from 3 to 8. Ports of Call Waterfront Dining. For reservations and directions, visit portsofcalldining.com or call 310-833-3553. You are listening to Phil Hewlett and Friends. This is hour two of the talk show where you get nothing but fun, informative, sometimes unexpected conversation about the stories you care about most. You'll hear from the experts, authors, and others, and we hope to put a little smile on your face along the way. This hour, you've heard of net neutrality, right? How about app neutrality? Plus, the movie Unbroken. You know all about that, right? You're going to learn a lot more about the amazing fellow that movie was about when we speak with his son right here on the program. The friends are here. Aaron Myers, Chris Martin. I'm Phil Hewlett. Thanks for tuning in. Get this hour started with you, Aaron.
Phil, can I jump in with a quick update?
Oh, you have breaking news?
I have breaking news. It's breaking sports news. The medical report on Lakers forward Kobe Bryant has just been released, and he has a torn rotator cuff.
Oh.
So he is not going to be playing any games anytime soon, anyway. We'll see how long he has to
sit. So he's not going to catch Kareem and Wilt or Karl Malone on the most points scored thing.
Hard saying, unless he plays for another 3 years.
Didn't Byron Scott, the coach of the Lakers, didn't Byron Scott say he would not, I'm paraphrasing a quote, he would not be surprised if Kobe retires at the end of this season?
I don't know if he said that. I would be surprised if he said that. I'm pretty sure Kobe thinks he's got one more good year in him.
Yeah?
Yeah. Well, that's my gut feeling.
If this year doesn't depress him too much, because this has been a rough one.
It has. It seems they lose every game he plays, and they win many of the games that he sits out.
So let's see what happens now.
They're playoff bound now that he's out for the season.
Oh, no.
Wow.
Aw.
Okay, back to you, Aaron. And thanks for that, Chris, for the breaking news. What can your tweets say about you, Aaron?
They can say you're angry and that you might have a coronary. Whoa. Apparently.
What?
I guess there's a study by researchers at the University of Pennsylvania, and they published it this week in the Journal of Psychological Science. And an individual's Twitter behavior is a better predictor of coronary heart disease than smoking, diabetes, income, and education combined.
Wow.
Yes. And they said the study found that angry and anxiety-laden tweets, they corresponded with cases of heart disease, and happy laid-back tweets were composed by those with less instances of heart disease. So
no,
I know a few people who are probably in trouble based on the way they tweet.
Angry tweeters?
Yes, very angry tweeters where they call people out and are...
Do HIPAA rules apply to our tweets now that doctors are looking at them to predict our coronary future?
I don't know what hippos have to do with this.
Me neither. All right, but... There's also some mental illness news out there and a way to keep us sane as we get older.
Apparently. And I think it might be better for women just because I think women probably do this more than men, but men might want to take it up. Quilters and knitters say that usually they describe their craft as therapy and not retail therapy or crafting therapy. It's something that helps calm them and gives them health benefits. And apparently researchers studying brain craft links did find mental health benefits. They said that picking up needles of any kind makes people feel more satisfied. And, you know, it talks about dealing with depression, anxiety, things like that. So apparently knitting is good for you.
I've tried that. One of my daughters is real good at knitting. And she's tried over and over again to show me how to do it. And something in my brain won't allow me to make that little hook and swing and knot and whatever it is that you do to stitch and to knit.
I've tried it, too. And I think here, you know, they're saying it calms you and it can be good for you. If I get frustrated, I now have needles in my hands, which I don't think is a good idea.
Right.
Don't
give her the knitting needle.
No.
You have to find
your
thing.
That one is a little rough there.
Maybe your thing is gardening, Phil, or cooking. Mm-hmm. I'm sure those produce the same sort of calming brainwaves if you enjoy it.
Yeah, there are all sorts of things. I mean, people say, and I could vouch for this from my earlier years, surfing. If you get out in the ocean, you just you forget about all your troubles until some grommet cuts you off and, you know, shoulder hopper.
Or you see the fin.
Yeah, well, right. There's that, too.
I'll bet that's even more so just because you're connected to Mother Earth out there at the big waves ocean.
All cosmic and stuff.
Yeah, so serene.
Yeah. All right, you know what else is serene? Those, okay, fine. We're talking about Super Bowl ads, and every year we get a new one from Carl's Jr., and every year there's a sexy babe eating a burger. And do they have one of those this year?
They do again, and it has been previewed, and they are talking about the company's new all-natural burger. And so it shows this blonde woman eating a hamburger and getting looked at. But she's kind of just walking around first, and it's all covering up parts of her body strategically.
Is she naked?
It makes you think she is.
Oh.
But the whole point is all-natural burger, and at the very end, you see her. She's in a bathing suit top and shorts, and then she takes a bite of the burger, and you're like, is she all-natural or not? Like the burger. At least that's the question I've been having people ask.
Yeah,
and it's been sort of like betting already on yes or no, maybe so.
Mm-hmm. How does she look, Aaron?
She's very pretty. She kind of, like they say, she kind of looks like Kate Upton a little bit, and I see that.
But not Kate Upton's can be a little sloppy at times.
Well,
you know what I mean? You're
telling it how it is.
Yeah.
I mean, she's got a very similar like figure and face and hair and all of that.
How about the burger? I mean, there's other symbolism in this thing as well. Or what are the guys doing when they're watching her walk by?
Staring.
Of
course, yes. Yeah. Staring and probably drooling.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's the typical ad for Carl's Jr.
Mm-hmm.
And, Super Bowl.
You have to respect those guys for sticking to their ad campaign, sticking to their target demographic. They have clearly said, look, we're after men, 18 to 45.
No, you know what they're after. They're after this.
Well, that too.
What we're doing right now.
Talking about it.
Talking about it. Everybody's going to talk about it. Talk about the controversy, and they get all this free publicity, and then a ton of people go to the website and watch it.
So if you're a girl, is it like a feat to get this role as, you know, one of the sexy burger-eating girls like Paris Hilton or Kate Upton or Heidi Klum, or is it, you know, making yourself look bad?
Paris Hilton and Heidi Klum had really nothing else to gain. It's just another feather in their cap.
Yes.
But Kate Upton, I don't know how well known she was when she got into it. Maybe she was she already an SI model, a cover model? Was she? Sports Illustrated?
I think so. I think she was already known prior to that commercial.
Yeah.
But then there was the gal on the beach with the guy with the sunburn glasses thing.
Right.
That one, well, she wasn't as well known. Did she go on to do great, wonderful things in
she's
her career?
She's still around. She's a model. She's still around. I can't remember her name off the top of my head, but she is around.
Yeah. Oh, she has a name.
Yes, she does. Yes, she does.
Okay.
She's not just a pretty face eating a burger.
I'm sorry.
In slow motion.
That's an illustrious list to be a part of, though. If you're a model, an aspiring model, of course.
I was
you
a Carl's Jr. girl.
Yeah.
Like that.
Like Heidi Klum. Like Paris Hilton.
Yeah.
Like Kate Upton.
Well, it's a good party to go to, certainly. You know, women sometimes are easy to understand. Sometimes they're more difficult to understand. But sometimes science has to step in to understand what's going on in a woman's brain. And, Chris, you found a woman who does have something peculiar going on with a very interesting byproduct. What is it?
Yeah, I did find this woman. She has an interesting disability, I guess you'd call it. She's chosen to remain anonymous, but she was on a radio show. And her answer to the question, what is fear, was, I truly have no clue what fear is. She has Urbach-Wythe syndrome, which is this hereditary genetic disorder that calcifies the amygdala, the center of your brain that tells you to fight or flight, your fear center of your brain.
Yeah.
And I'll give you a quick story. She's held at knife point. Here it is. Years ago, she's walking down to the store. She saw a man on a park bench who said, please come here. She walked over unsuspectingly, said, what do you need? He grabbed her by the shirt, put a knife to her throat, and said, I'm going to kill you if you don't give me everything you have. And she said, go ahead and cut me. I'll come back and I'll hunt your ass. And the guy let her go.
Well, that might have been a good tactic. Right
there. And I don't know if that's just bravery or not having any fear, but that's an example she used to say, I really do not feel fear.
She's witty, too. Has she been recruited by the CIA?
I'll come back and
I'd pick her up right away. Yeah, make her a Navy SEAL.
I think that's a storyline for Hollywood, don't you think?
That's a good movie, yes.
Yeah, because they had the one movie with that one gal who had some kind of thing going on in her brain, and she could float through a room and knock everybody out.
What? You're talking about Lucy?
Yeah, Lucy.
Yeah, that movie was terrible.
Right. She had some kind of weird mental thing going on, right? That
she
allowed
was
her to
like an experiment or on a drug or
something,
loaded, right?
They loaded drugs in her stomach.
Yeah.
Okay.
These like smart pills, too many of them. She got kicked in the stomach and
but
the drugs
this would be
exploded
better because it's based on reality and she could meet all the thugs and all of that and face them down and say witty things like, you know, I'll cut me and I'll hunt her.
Right, yeah.
That's awesome.
I'll be back.
Yeah.
That is something.
I can hear the deep trailer voice on that one.
Yes.
She knows me.
Oh,
fear.
My goodness.
Fearless.
That's right. Hey, coming up, this is something special. The story behind the story of the subject of the hit movie, Unbroken. And a lot of people have seen this movie. It continues to be in the top 10, and it's been out for, I think it's in its fifth week now. You're going to hear from the son of Louis Zamperini next here on Phil Hewlett and Friends.
In sports, speed is everything. When it comes to headache relief, speed is the only thing. Introducing Goody's Headache Relief Shot, the all-new liquid fast formula. Just screw off the top, down the shot, and knock back pain for fast, long-lasting relief.
headache pain behind with Goody's Headache Relief Shot. Available now at Walgreens.
I want to tell you about a spectacular dining experience. It's Ports of Call Waterfront Dining, award-winning service and cuisine with a view of the dynamic L.A. Harbor from every seat. Enjoy daily sunset specials as well as the South Bay's best bottomless champagne brunch. The outdoor harborside patio is a perfect setting for happy hour every weekday from 3 to 8. Ports of Call Waterfront Dining. For reservations and directions, visit portsofcalldining.com or call 310-833-3553. Oh, here's a treat right now on Phil Hewlett and Friends. And again, oh, thanks for tuning in. You know who Louis Zamperini is, right? He was widely celebrated for his World War II survival story. It's in that movie, Unbroken. And while serving in the Air Force, he was a bombardier in 1943. His cruise B-24 crashed in the ocean, the Pacific. Louis was among the three survivors stranded on a life raft in the middle of the ocean. They subsisted on rainwater and raw albatross. You know, that's like a seagull, only bigger. They were fending off sharks and just waiting and waiting. And on the 47th day, they were rescued by the Japanese. 2.5 years of torture followed that. But he never gave up, and he promised never to be broken. If a Japanese guard would knock him down to the ground, he would get right up. And this is just a quick look at the character of Louis Zamperini. But we want to get more. So joining us now is the son of this amazing man, Luke Zamperini. Luke, something tells me that if your dad was still here, he'd be doing this interview at 98 years of age. Am I right?
Oh, absolutely. But he wouldn't be 98 until next Monday.
Oh, I see. So he's practically birthday time.
Yes. Yeah. He would be. He worked right up to the very end, as is evidenced by, you know, finishing the book, Don't Give Up, Don't Give In, just days before going into the hospital.
Yeah, let's talk about the book, Don't Give Up, Don't Give In. It takes us on Louis' journey from his childhood in Torrance, California, not far from where I grew up, to becoming a competitive runner, competing in the Berlin Olympics, then on to World War II, where he was held captive by the Japanese, vowing never to be broken at the hands of his captors, to the struggles he faced when he came home, to an awakening that probably saved his life. Give us a sense of that journey, will you?
Well, it's an incredible journey, and, you know, it's been chronicled in his own autobiography, Devil at My Heels, and through Laura Hillenbrand's biography of him called Unbroken, and chronicled in the movie Unbroken. In Don't Give Up, Don't Give In, there's an added quality to it. Besides touching on his adventure through athletics in the war and after the war, it also has a few other adventures that he got into. Like, for instance, did you know he was lost at sea again in 1949?
No, how do you pull that off?
well, you know, 47 days in a life raft wasn't enough for him. He decided he wanted to sail from Los Angeles to Acapulco with his buddies. And they encountered a white squall off the coast of Mexico that shredded their sails, broke their rudder pin, doused their electrical system, and blew them hundreds of miles out into the Pacific Ocean.
My goodness.
And so, you know, this time he actually had a room to walk around on the boat and had supplies. And they found themselves in the doldrums, and he used his usual skills to be able to stitch the sails back together, and they fashioned a temporary rudder pin. They were able to make their way into a little fishing village called Puerto Vallarta.
Oh, yeah, right. Heard of that place. You know what? People can learn a lot from a guy like your father these days, because it seems like folks give up so quickly and look for somebody else to help them out, and the ingenuity and that spirit to just figure out a way to get it done was embodied in your father, wasn't it?
Yes, and, you know, and this comes out in Don't Give Up, Don't Give In, because, you know, more importantly than the stories are the lessons that he learned from each one of his experiences. You know, he was a person who believed that things happen for a reason, and that you should be able to draw lessons from your experiences. And it's just a wonderful collection of his wise sayings. I mean, what a joy to have a 97-year-old man passing his wisdom on to the world through a vehicle like this book. And it's a charming read. It's an easy read. It's a fun read. It's good for kids. It's good for adults. And I'm blessed to have it as a resource and to be able to talk about it.
Again, it's called Don't Give Up, Don't Give In by Louis Zamperini. The second half of it, after the colon, is Lessons from an Extraordinary Life. And in the book, Louis offers advice on living an honorable life. Can you give us just one nugget to take away?
Well, okay, so, 47 days at sea, 27 months in a Japanese prison camp. He came out of the war with post-traumatic stress disorder. And, of course, they didn't know what that was back in 1945. You go to the VA hospital, they had no idea. But his life was falling apart. He had this recurring nightmare of the most heinous of his captors, a prison guard known as the Bird, attacking him in his sleep, and him trying to fight him off and trying to kill him with his bare hands. He was self-medicating with alcohol. He was getting into fist fights at the drop of a hat. And, you know, life was really, really going downhill for Louis Zamperini. And then one day he found himself in a tent meeting in downtown Los Angeles with a young preacher called Billy Graham.
Oh, yeah, of course.
So, you know, Billy got to the part of the sermon where he was talking about when people come to the end of their rope and they have no place else to turn, they finally turn to God and to seek their salvation from the situation. So that reminded him of all the promises he made on the life raft and in the prison camp about, you know, Lord, you get me home from this experience, and I'll seek you and serve you. And he realized at that point that he had not made good on his part of the bargain. So he went back to the prayer room behind the stage there and accepted Jesus Christ as his Savior. And he told me that when he stood up, he realized immediately that he was done getting drunk, he was done fighting, that he'd forgiven all of his prison guards, including the Bird, and that he went home that night. It was the first night in 5 years he didn't have that nightmare, and he never had it again the rest of his life.
Did he effort to go back to Japan and find his prison guards and forgive them face-to-face?
He did. A year later, in 1950, he went back to Japan on a mission to find these guys and forgive them. And they themselves are all now prisoners in Sugamo Prison, which is where they were putting the Japanese war criminals. So he went back there and he forgave them face to face, eye to eye, and then he also told them about the joy in his life in having a personal relationship with his Lord and Savior Jesus Christ.
Yeah, the movie about your dad, Unbroken, has been out for about a month. It's grossed nearly $110 million domestically. Are you and the family happy with the depiction of your dad and how Angelina Jolie treated his life story?
We are. We're big fans of the film. I myself am just about obsessed with it. I've seen it 9 times, and she really did a masterful job. And, you know, maybe on the first viewing, you might be sitting there thinking, well, they left this part out and left that part out. But, you know, the subtlety at which she portrayed his story, it really captured everything, even, you know, the faith and forgiveness aspect. Even though the film ends at the end of the war, it hints towards the things that happened to him later on in life. So to me, I just think it's a beautiful work of art, and the whole family is very, very excited about it.
And an amazing life to depict on the silver screen, that of Louis Zamperini. Luke Zamperini, his son, thank you very much for spending some time with us here on Phil Hewlett and Friends.
Well, it's been a real pleasure, Phil. Thank you for having me.
And the book, by the way, is in the store at philhewlettandfriends.com. It's real obvious. Go take a look at it, and it's a wonderful book and worth reading. And that was something, right? And that was an inspiring conversation. So glad we had it here on the program. And so, Aaron, there's been a lot of talk about taxis. We talked about it here and about Uber and all of that. Now there's a new way in the number one metropolitan area in the United States to get around. What is it?
by helicopter.
Yes.
If you want to go to the airport, starting on February 9th, there is going to be a new luxury service that's going to cut your travel time down from 2 hours to 6 minutes by offering helicopter rides to JFK and Newark Airport. And the company, this is kind of cool. It makes you feel like you're like in a superhero movie, Gotham Air.
Oh.
Yeah, so it's just kind of a neat thing.
There's a TV show out called Gotham, right?
There is.
Of a Batman-themed
on
movie.
On Fox, and it's going to be $99.
How about that?
So not horrible,
hey,
I guess.
Hey, a new survey asked women if they'd rather marry a guy who's a tech entrepreneur or a football player. You know, geek versus jock.
Yeah.
45% said a tech guy, and just 5% said a football player, which means women were 9 times more likely to go for the geek than the jock. The survey also found that 58% of people think being called a tech geek is a compliment.
Hmm.
That's why I'm glad I'm a little mixture of both, you know.
There you go. That's a good quality
my
right
opportunity.
There.
I'm like a gawk or a geek.
Yeah. Well, we have our own geek, so you're going to have to battle for primacy here, Chris. A whole lot of neutrality is coming up on the program with our tech guy, geek, Jeremy Antecone. He's next here on Phil Hewlett and Friends. It's Phil Hewlett and Friends, and we sure are glad that you tune in all the time. We consider you a friend as well. There's a story in the news. We love the dumb criminals, Aaron.
Yes.
They just are so dumb. It's entertaining. And tell us about this one.
Well, in Houston, two guys were arrested for stealing an iPad, and they took selfies, and apparently they uploaded it to the owner's iCloud account, and what's even better about the selfies is they were also holding the money that they were accused of taking from the victim as well. So they got caught, and they were charged yesterday.
Dumb guys.
Yes.
Love that. It's good. You know, we're going to we make sure as a human race— we will survive, whatever comes our way. Even self-aware robots, we will survive because the dumb guys are dumb.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
I don't know what that means. But joining us live to help us out is a smart guy, tech guy, the head of Apogee and the founder of Ignite Mobile Studio, Jeremy Antecone. How's that for an intro, huh?
Well, wow. How are you guys?
Doing well. I mean, you're one of the smartest guys we know.
Well, thanks.
Next to Bill Gates. Isn't he roundly believed to be the smartest guy on the planet? Isn't he one of them?
He's a pretty sharp guy.
Yeah.
And, of course, he's moved on from Microsoft and is doing a lot of philanthropy. But we've got a new CEO at Microsoft, Satya Nadella, and he's been there for about a year. And, you know, the headlines are saying that Microsoft might be cool again. What do you guys think about that?
I like that because, well, you know, I've been a Windows guy forever, and I've become somewhat Android these days, but just the same, I remember when there was the whole Windows versus Mac thing going on, and it was the epic battle, and so I don't know where things stand today, but you say it's cool? I mean, what product do they have that makes them cool?
They're trying to be cool. They've actually put out a concept product called the HoloLens, and it is pretty cool from what I can see. It's an interactive headset. Put it on. It's kind of like a visor that you see through, and then it projects using all kinds of high-tech lasers and lights and so forth, a 3D environment in front of you. So it's a fully immersive 3D holographic environment, which sounds pretty cool. I mean, you can imagine playing that for games. Certainly is a great way of looking at it, or 3D movies if we ever get content coming down.
So you would stand right in the middle of the scene that's unfolding around you.
Could be some really cool stuff. And they also are taking a page from Apple's playbook, the next version of Windows, because a lot of people out there are kind of required to use Windows. They're stuck with a PC, and they're stuck using Windows. They are going to be giving away Windows 10 for free, which is, of course, what Apple's been doing for some time.
No
so that,
kidding.
They get people, happy to use Windows again.
Well, all right, we'll so I have a PC at home with Windows, what is it, 9.1? That's what it is, right? Because 9 had some bugs, so 9.1 came out.
Yeah, you'll be able to upgrade to Windows 10 for free when that comes out. So, interesting stuff.
All right, that's good. Nice to know. Company, there's another company that has really, it was cool at one time, and I don't know if it's ever going to be cool again, but BlackBerry is crying. They're saying, it's not fair out there. It's not fair.
This is the kind of a funny one. You know, BlackBerry Messenger is an app on BlackBerries that was very similar to iMessage, which allows you to send direct messages from one BlackBerry to another. Apple, of course, has iMessage, which does something very similar. So, you know, they've had BBM for many, many years. They finally or just opened it up late 2013, so it became available to other users. So if you had friends using BlackBerries and you were on an iPhone or an Android, that you'd be able to use the BlackBerry messaging service and be able to communicate with them. Well, John Chen, who's BlackBerry's CEO, and of course, he's been struggling to find a hit product with several releases lately, with like the BlackBerry Passport, if you remember that thing, is basically saying Apple should be required to make iMessage available to BlackBerry and Android, and that Netflix is discriminating against BlackBerry customers by refusing to make its streaming movie service available.
It's not fair.
I think, you know, he's comparing it to net neutrality and saying, you know, app or content neutrality, but I think he just fundamentally misses the point. The internet, being a free and open platform with net neutrality, should allow people to do what they want if they want to. They shouldn't to be required to provide service to BlackBerries. It's such a small market that it's not worth their while.
Yeah, yeah. Unless Samsung buys BlackBerry. I don't know if that's going to change the universe. Yeah,
saw those rumors, but I think that's more about the patent portfolio, because BlackBerry has a tremendous portfolio of technology patents relating to wireless communications and email on mobile devices. So yeah. I think that may be more of what that's about.
And back to the net neutrality for a moment. I mean, we all want the freedom to do whatever we want to do and go wherever we want to go on the internet. But sometimes the internet service providers aren't so keen on that. They want to kind of control the pipe, so to speak, and charge us for special privileges, right?
Right, and we are actually seeing some great stuff happening with net neutrality. At least that's what it is looking like is going to happen. There's going to be a vote by the FCC very soon where they're going to be essentially voting on the new net neutrality rules. Verizon filed a lawsuit last year that basically threw out the rules for net neutrality that existed previously, and it looks like the new rules that are going to come into place are going to be a lot more restrictive for them than they had hoped. So it'll be interesting to see what the FCC does, if they do in fact reclassify communications providers as Title II, which makes them common carriers, that they are just like the phone company where they just have to provide that service, and then other people could then get in and be able to resell the service. I saw an article that Google is looking at getting into providing wireless service directly to consumers through a partnership with Sprint and T-Mobile. So we'll see where that leads us.
Yeah. All right. Very good. Should we watch the Super Bowl on TV or on our handheld device?
You know, I think that putting it on a big screen TV with a bunch of family and friends around is probably the best way to go.
Okay, very good. So put the phones away, because you're just going to get guacamole on them, and enjoy the football game on a big screen. That's
what I would say.
That's the way to go. All right, Jeremy, thanks as always. We'll talk to you again next time.
All right, guys.
All right, bye-bye. Up next, an iconic heavy metal band on its farewell tour has signed a blood pact to end their career. They're finally saying goodbye forever, and they mean it. They're going to be murdered on stage. That's next on Phil Hewlett and Friends.
In sports, speed is everything. When it comes to headache relief, speed is the only thing. Introducing Goody's Headache Relief Shot, the all-new liquid fast formula. Just screw off the top, down the shot, and knock back pain for fast, long-lasting relief. Leave headache pain behind with Goody's Headache Relief Shot. Available now at Walgreens.
Here's a great idea for your next outing. A cruise of the L.A. Harbor on a Spirit Cruises yacht. Whether you have a large party, a company outing, wedding reception, a reunion, or you need the perfect setting for a romantic evening, Spirit Cruises offers everything you need to relax and enjoy your time on the water. For a limited time, enjoy Sunday brunch at Portsacall Waterfront Dining right next door. And the first Spirit Cruises Harbor Cruise of the day is free. For more information, call 310-548-8080 or visit spiritmarine.com.
Come on.
It's Phil Hewlett and friends. I'm Phil. Aaron and Chris are here, and so are you, and that's great. There's a what do you think the most dangerous sex position for a man is?
I'm going to say reverse cowgirl.
Oh, goodness.
What? What? No, this is the sexual position that's most likely to result in, well, let's just say penile fracture.
An injury, yes.
Yes, an injury. According to a new study, and it was a serious study, 50% of the cases of that sort of injury resulted from the woman being on top.
That's what I was, never mind.
That's what you were thinking?
That was, actually.
As opposed to 21% of the old-fashioned missionary style. Mm-hmm.
Interesting.
Right, that's the safest way to go right there.
Is it?
Yeah, just go missionary. Everybody's laying straight. There's very little things that can happen.
Because you don't want to get injured.
That can go wrong.
Yeah, of course.
See, right. I think there's lots of, if you get those little Kama Sutra books that I've seen, I'm sure those are dangerous.
Where have you seen those? On the
One of my
on
friends actually had one.
Oh, really?
Yes, and so I remember looking at it. It was like her coffee table book. I was like, wow.
No kidding.
Crazy.
Was it right next to that silly Madonna book with her in various
Probably.
Positions?
Actually, those go together, so... Yeah.
Kama Sutra and Madonna.
Yes.
In various positions. All right. You could hurt yourself looking at those books. Careful, Aaron.
Make sure to stretch.
Yeah. All right. Well, one thing that is stretched is the career of Motley Crue. And it has stretched thin by some accounts, but they're just about done. And from what we read, Chris, they're going to be done for on stage. Is that the case?
They're going to be murdered. And there's a lot of people that are happy about that. I can hear people clapping in the background right now, as a matter of fact. You know, last year they signed a blood pact, even a death pact is what I think it was, where the three members of Motley Crue signed a document, an official document that said 2015.
Four members, by the way.
Four members.
Yeah.
Okay.
Did they sign it in blood?
They signed it in blood, yes. That said that 2015 will be their final tour. And Alice Cooper joined the tour. It's created a lot of, you know, attraction to it, and everybody's going to see him. And Alice Cooper says he's going to kill Motley Crue at their final show.
He is.
He is.
That's gonna go on his permanent record. He might get arrested for that. What's he going to do?
Well, he's going to crucify him.
First?
He's going to...
Yeah.
Oh, wait, no. He's going to chop their heads off in a guillotine.
Oh, that's not crucifixion.
What he's gonna do. No, but the machine he's going to use is called the Crucifly.
The Crucifly?
Yes.
Because I'm like... launch afterwards or something?
It does. Okay. It goes up in the air. The thing swings around in circles. It's quite a machine. He's got to build a few more of them so he can... But Alice Cooper has killed himself at the end of every show for like the last 40 years.
But what is he? The Antichrist? He just keeps coming back and singing some more, right?
Yeah, he's not ready to give up.
He's like 80 years old, isn't he?
Yeah.
Those guys never age. I feel like they look the same for a lot. Like, it's the music.
Yeah.
It keeps them young.
Yeah, it's crazy how long these guys last.
How many years ago were the 60s? Because Alice Cooper's first record came out.
I'm
going to
say 100, like, maybe 110.
69. Yeah. That's something.
Dig this, though. He's gonna cut all their heads off.
Dig this?
Yeah. He's going to cut all their heads off. He's going to murder them all. Then he's going to pick up all their decapitated heads, Alice Cooper is, and he's going to stick them on sticks in front of the audience.
Oh, my goodness.
For their final show scheduled for December of this year, where Motley Crue will never... play another concert as long as
well. I would imagine
until they're resurrected. Are you kidding? That's going to happen.
No,
too.
They
it has
can't.
To.
They signed a contract, a legally binding contract
why
in
would
blood.
You do that
in
to
blood.
Attract attention for their final tour.
Yeah, and then they're going to regret it later. That's what's going to happen.
Yeah, I think you're right.
Yeah, we'll be able to see them at a casino at some
there
point.
There you go.
Yeah,
playing in Vegas.
Right, riverboat tour,
and I'll be in the audience screaming, "Liars!"
Yeah, right, infidels. I've just been through a whole process of remodeling the house, and I survived.
Yes.
My wife survived, and sometimes you get a little, you have these testy conversations with the contractor when things don't go the way you expect them to, and wait a minute, that doesn't look like what we discussed. But, Aaron, you have some tips. Now you have some
tips. Yes, after the fact.
Thanks.
I saw this and I thought of you. I was like, oh, I should bring this in. But, yeah, you probably could use these earlier.
Whatever.
There's
they?
8 tips. It says things not to say to your contractor.
Uh-oh.
I hired you because the other guys I hired never showed up. They're going to think you're difficult.
Oh.
I watched a YouTube video, so I probably know just as much as you do about how to do it.
Yeah, I think maybe I've said something like that.
Yeah, it's not the case.
Uh-huh.
While you're working on this, can you do a few other things? Because, you know, that all adds up. So don't start asking for extra things.
Yeah.
It's okay. The neighbors won't mind. Make sure you know the zones and where you can build to.
Right.
I'm going to fly you to Afghanistan to pick out the marble for my countertops.
No, who says
nobody
that?
Nobody wants to be killed,
who
apparently,
says that?
Or go to a danger zone.
There's a guy who's already flown somebody to Afghanistan right up the street with a warehouse full of those stones, so you don't need to do
okay,
that.
Find somebody local.
Yeah.
You'll have the check tomorrow.
Oh, yeah. I've said that a bunch of times.
Yes. Since I just told you what I want, there's no need to put it in writing. You want to all be on the same page.
Yep.
And you're almost done. Here's my final payment. And this is actually more for the client. Don't pay until
it's all done.
It's all done.
Yeah.
So
and you're absolutely happy. And you know what? Here's another tip. Live in the house for a couple of weeks and wait for things to not work properly. Because you're not going to use everything all at once. You're not going to think about it. You're going to walk around. I don't remember that hole in the wall mm-hmm. right there. Was that always there? Maybe it wasn't. Or maybe it was. But just the same. Or I don't remember that drip coming out of the ceiling. Was that supposed to be there? I don't recall that being part of the plan. Things.
And if you don't want a contractor, be like my dad and do it yourself, and then it's never finished. So that's always another way to go.
Wow. It's going to be busy for a long, long
yes.
time. Hey, we were talking, and clinically speaking, about sex and dangerous positions for men, at least. A woman just posted a story on Reddit about her neighbor confronting her Monday morning this week over loud sex.
Wow.
That forced him into the birds and bees talk with an 8-year-old daughter. Okay, so only it turned out it wasn't loud sex after all. It was the woman screaming things that sounded like you might say when you're engaged in the act. But she was screaming it over and over again during the game of Mario Kart.
What was she saying? Go, faster, faster?
No,
no. I'm just kidding. I don't know.
Well, blank me. She apologized for her filthy mouth. But
She just said blank.
Yeah. You know, there's a whole channel of gamers. It's what's it called? Twitch online, where the gamers, you get to watch them play and listen to them while they're playing.
That has to be entertaining.
It is. And a lot of these gamers make a ton of money from people just watching and subscribing to their channel, and then they see advertisements and all of that. This lady needs a Mario Kart mm-hmm. Twitch channel. She'll make a ton of money.
She has a new career right there.
I think so. All right, so I have another story for you as well. In fact, this is more of a question. We can all agree on things like football and hockey and tennis and basketball. They're all sports, right?
Yes.
We might even agree that things like golf and auto racing are sports. But what happens when we get into things that blur the lines a little bit? Harris Interactive just released the results of a poll where they asked Americans whether certain activities count as sports. And the results are, I think they're very interesting. So we'll start at the bottom here with billiards and pool.
Okay. Sure.
That's not even at the bottom. Let's start even lower. Let's start with poker.
No. That's a game.
Let's start even lower than that. Let's start with competitive eating.
That is such a sport. You're using muscles. Are you kidding?
6% of people said that competitive eating is a sport. Competitive video gaming, which we were just talking about, the Stitch crowd. There's some competition mm-hmm. going on. 9% say that's a sport. Quidditch. You know what that is? That's the imaginary Harry Potter game. Yeah, the sport that some college kids actually now play.
Hey, you have to run around. That counts.
Yeah, 11% say. The same percentage of people say poker is a sport.
No.
11%. Chess.
No.
14%. Not a sport?
Mental sport, maybe, but I look at it, yeah.
Okay, back to billiards and pool. Sport? Remember Minnesota Fats? He had an athletic physique.
I think if anything that ends up getting played on ESPN is officially sport.
That's when you know you've made it.
They have billiards tournaments.
Well, you know,
the bowling tournament.
It used to be people would say if it requires a judge, it's not a sport. You know, when they would hold up the cards, you know, that's an 8, a 9, or a 10.
Gymnastics is such a sport, and that requires judges.
Well, 28% said billiards and pool. Ultimate frisbee got 32%. That's a little like golf, right? Golf.
But better.
Cheerleading.
That is a sport.
Now, this is one where they have judges. They go out there, and they get sweaty, and they do those dangerous pyramid moves and all that sort of thing, and sometimes they break their necks. But it requires a judge to decide who's good and who's not. 33% say cheerleading is a sport. Same percentage of people say fishing is a sport.
Sure, that's on ESPN.
Fishing is a sport.
Bass fishing. They got to weigh all their.
You
fish.
You could throw out a shoulder.
I guess when you're fighting the marlin, that takes some athletic prowess.
Yeah, I love the videos of the guys that get pulled right off the back of the boat into
the marlin wins.
Yeah. Competitive dance.
Okay.
34%. Again, that requires judges. Kickball. That's a sport. It's like baseball.
Sure. Let's put dodgeball on the list.
It's on the list. Mm-hmm. Both kickball and dodgeball get 40%. And is bowling a sport? Or is that something you get the friends together and just goof around and every third person throws a gutter ball?
It's on, as Chris says, I think that's on ESPN as well, right?
Yeah.
They show bowling.
It is.
So
they have
it's
professional
a sport.
Bowling tournaments.
Yes.
52% say bowling is a sport. So more than half.
You do have to have one good bicep.
Yeah.
Just one.
Oddly enough, beer pong, 75% of people say that's the sport.
It is not on the list.
Whoa, if,
not?
If they're in college.
It is not on the list. Now, sometimes you've got to have some intestinal fortitude to survive in life. There's a 26-year-old woman. She's from Trinidad and Tobago. Ever been there?
No.
Or as some people say, Trinidad and Tobago. Her name is Jamelia. And she's from there. She's 26. She went on a job interview at a pharmacy just last week. And apparently it went horribly. And then it managed to even get worse when, on the way out of the pharmacy, she stole the purse from the woman who was interviewing her. The police tracked her down, found her with a purse, and apparently Trinidad and Tobago's legal system moves pretty quickly because she's already been convicted of theft, given $350 in fines and compensation. The judge told her that she has to get a job and pay that money or she'll go to jail.
All right.
And I don't know if $350 in the TNT is a whole lot of money.
I don't know.
Is that what the local kids call Trinidad and Tobago? The TNT?
Probably.
Yeah.
All I know is they have pretty girls in the like Miss Universe competition, usually.
Yeah. All right.
Yeah.
Very good. Hey, we love your comments. Click contact at philhewlettandfriends.com. On Twitter, we're at FAF Show, PHAF. Facebook.com/philhewlettandfriends. Thanks to our executive producer, Mike Stark. Our producer, Brooke Peterson. Production assistant, Nick Wright. Our theme song, composed and performed by Russ Monson. For Aaron Myers and Chris Martin, I'm Phil Hewlett. Can't wait to talk with you next time, right here on Phil Hewlett and Friends.
In sports, speed is everything. When it comes to headache relief, speed is the only thing. Introducing Goody's Headache Relief Shot, the all-new liquid fast formula. Just screw off the top, down the shot, and knock back pain for fast, long-lasting relief. Leave headache pain behind with Goody's Headache Relief Shot, available now at Walgreens.
I want to tell you about a spectacular dining experience. It's Portsacall Waterfront Dining, award-winning service and cuisine with a view of the dynamic L.A. Harbor from every seat. Enjoy daily sunset specials, as well as the South Bay's best bottomless champagne brunch. The outdoor harborside patio is a perfect setting for happy hour every weekday from 3 to 8. Portsacall Waterfront Dining. For reservations and directions, visit portsacalldining.com or call 310-833-3553.